Back to John's Gospel, chapter 12 today, and we're going to commence reading at the 12th verse, and we're going to go right down to verse 43. I hope you'll follow along as we read the Lord's Word together here in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. This is Ian Gallagher, and it's always my joy to bring the Lord's Word to you, wherever you may be listening in, and I hope that we will hear from you. I always take great personal delight in talking with those who phone in, or if you email, I take personal joy in responding to questions and comments, and we trust that these programs from Let the Bible Speak, from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, will be a joy to your heart and a means of building you up in the faith. We truly do want to let the Bible speak. And over these recent few years, I have been studying and preaching in John's Gospel. And today we're going to look at the Lord Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem, where they shouted the Savior's hosannas, Hosanna to the highest. What a beautiful and a wonderful scene. And I hope that today that you will stay tuned right through the program. At the end, we will have some information about our missionaries and their burdens on COVID-19 on the mission field. Stay tuned today as we let the Bible speak. We're turning now then to John 12 and to this verse 12, this scene of the Lord Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, what led to this was the resurrection of Lazarus. And that appears to be the tipping point, changing from the Lord's 3 years of earthly ministry, 3 years of performing miracles, healing people, preaching the gospel, leading his disciples. And much of that was taking place in Galilee. Every time the Lord came to Jerusalem, he seemed to get into controversy. And we have noted some of those controversies with the Jews. Now, at this point, things have gotten really to a great peak, a great height. There's a furore going on in the city, and it's all because of Lazarus. And this man now walking about, and the numbers that wanted to come and see Lazarus, this man that was dead 4 days, a wonderful proof and testimony of the amazing power of the Lord Jesus. And of course, the Pharisees were getting exceedingly upset. They were losing ground. They were losing people to disciples of the Lord Jesus. And they were getting all the more worried. What shall we do? You will read there in verse 19 how they said, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Such was the interest now in the Lord, because of this miracle of Lazarus. And this is a phenomenal change. It was a perfect storm. Before, the Lord would go to a mountaintop, he would preach and teach and maybe perform miracles and then return into seclusion, and all would quieten down. And then when the Lord would minister in certain places, people would want to make him king, but he would just get offside, and he would not want to be the focus of attention for a time. And again, things would settle down. But this time it was different. And we see the Lord, after this interest in Lazarus and the people and their numbers inquiring about him, and you'll see at the end of chapter 11:56, what think ye that he will not come to the feast? Things were getting so dangerous now. The knives were out. There was definitely among the scribes and the leaders a desire to put this Jesus to death, because they were going to lose their own authority and power if these things continued. And it was then that in an official capacity, the Lord made his journey from the town of Bethany into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and the response of these people praising him with their hosannas. Well, this was absolutely astounding. Now, the people praising him were most likely the diaspora people, people who were scattered to other parts of the earth, and they were coming now for the Passover, and there were the Galileans as well, who knew Jesus very well, and they were the people who most likely were giving the Lord their praises. And so I want you to get the sight of the Lord riding this donkey, this foal of an ass, and he is riding as a king. He is traveling along that path, that short journey from Bethany, up into a little mountain called the Mount of Olivet, and that was a range of mountains that went parallel with the east side of the city of Jerusalem, and then he would go down into the valley and again up into the city of Jerusalem. And all the way, they were taking their palm leaves and strewing them along the ground. This was the Eastern equivalent to the red carpet treatment that we would give dignitaries today. And so, and not only was Jesus riding in an official capacity, entering Jerusalem as a king, but there were multitudes of people recognizing him to be a king. And they were singing their hosannas. Now, they chanted and shouted publicly and powerfully, "Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, this event had been wonderfully prophesied in the book of Zechariah. You can check it out in chapter 9 and verse 9. And so this event was very messianic. And the Old Testament Bible readers, of which the multitudes were, they would have been familiar with this, and somehow they knew exactly how to respond. They did what Zechariah prophesied. Indeed, they, to a T, literally fulfilled what Zechariah said would happen of the Lord coming, riding on a donkey, the foal of an ass, and that the people would rise with their hosannas, giving their praises to the king. Now, this was a very short-term thing, because a few days later they were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." This event, what we call now Palm Sunday, was the day after that Sabbath when he sat in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, when Mary anointed Jesus' feet. And the next day, this tremendous show of praise, acknowledging Jesus to be the King. But it was very short-lived. And we wonder, how did this so suddenly come about, and how so could the people recognize this so dramatically? Well, the Lord has his own way of fulfilling prophecy, and he obviously prepared and moved the hearts of the people to do this. Now, if you look down at verse 16 in chapter 12, you will see that even the disciples were not fully aware of the full significance of it all at the time. "These things understood not his disciples at the first, But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. Now, if James and John and Andrew and Philip and all the other disciples were not fully aware of the significance of what was happening, you can be sure that there were many, many others who were shouting Hosanna to him, were not 100% clear of what's going on here. And perhaps, as in much of crowd control, you have the herd mentality. When 10 do it and 100 do it, then 1,000 do it. And you have this burst of praise, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the King in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, remember, it is John, the apostle, who's writing this gospel. And he's putting all this into this account because his purpose is to demonstrate the glory of Christ, the deity of Christ. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And this account that John is drafting for us here is carefully entered into this record that we might see the significant glory of Christ. And then, of course, it brings the greater weight of judgment upon the people who a few days later were crying out, crucify him. And what the Lord was doing here as he was riding into Jerusalem in this kingly fashion, publicly demonstrating, fulfilling Zechariah 9 prophecy, he was laying upon the people the responsibility of knowing who he was and, of course, what they were yet to do with him. And we see this by fulfilling the scripture, by entering into Jerusalem on a colt, and by accepting the hosannas of the people. The Lord did not turn this down. He rejoiced in it, and he orchestrated it because he initiated the disciples, go get the colt, and he wanted this event to take place, and he entered in a kingly fashion. He received all the hosannas, and he was laying upon the Jewish people, people of Jerusalem, people of far and wide that had come for this Passover feast. The city was bursting with people, and they all, many of them even with their own tongues, praised the Lord with their hosannas. They would never later say, we didn't know. We had no idea. So I want us to look firstly at the fulfilling of the scripture as the Messiah. What a great responsibility this brought upon the people. And this event is chock filled with fulfilled prophetical scriptures. This was spoken of the people who were religious Bible readers. Maybe the children learned to memorize these verses in their synagogues. They would have been taught them in their homes. They would have been so familiar with these prophecies. And you'll see there twice in verse 14 and 16, it says, as it is written, verse 14. And then again in verse 16, these things were written of him. And this brought a tremendous responsibility upon the people, because this was not really a stranger. This was not an imposter, but rather it was the very thing that they were prepared to expect, and for which they actually did respond in the right manner when they offered up those palm leaves and their praises. Now, if you allow me to put a little, hit the pause button here, there's a couple of things I want to point out. Now, they might be, I don't know, deep and theological. They might be a little bit going to the bottom of the well on this one. But it is significant that what is recorded here in John 12, there's two things left out of Zechariah's prophecy. One is rejoice, and the other one is the just one. Now, I'm leaning on Arthur W. Pink on this, but he points out that that was left out of the Old Testament prophecy because it was not time for Jerusalemites to rejoice. Because Christ had not yet died, their sins had not yet been forgiven, they were not yet brought to faith in the true Messiah. Indeed, many of them were only looking for a political Messiah, someone who would drive out the Romans and free them from that occupancy. And so they were not here in this passage singing to rejoice, because while they were recognizing Jesus coming as the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, they themselves had no interest in Christ as yet. And maybe that's a word to somebody here today. If you have no saving personal interest in Christ, can you really rejoice? If your sins are not forgiven, can you rejoice? The other thing that is left out here that's not quoted in John 12 is this word, just, the just one. And that relates to Christ in his final coming, when he will come as the judge of all the earth, when he will call everyone to their responsibility. What have you done with Christ? And will you give answer? And so those things were set aside in John's record of this. Now, the Lord was given the name Hosanna. He was referred to as Savior. The word Hosanna means, oh, save. Or you could translate it, save me, I pray. Hosanna. And of course, it was very applicable because these people needed to be saved from the very deeds that they were soon to perform as they crucified the Lord Jesus. But what a statement. And what an indictment against these Jerusalemite sinners who would cry out, crucify him and crucify him. It was to lay the weight of responsibility upon these people. And that day when Jesus rode on that donkey into the city, the air was filled with hosannas. And of course, they were called to acknowledge the Lord Jesus. Now, these palms that were in their hands, this was something that they were taught to do way back in Leviticus chapter 23. We read of this in Revelation 7 again, that they were taking palms in their hands and praising the Savior. The note of victory, the note of power, the note of a great king that was undefeatable. And they exercised and demonstrated that publicly on that day of the Lord entering into the disciples. Now, let's go behind the scenes a little bit. I want you to think of the quarters in Jerusalem where the Pharisees and scribes were commanding their power. The Pharisees plotted Jesus' death even in the midst of all this. But this demonstration of honor to King Jesus, this spontaneous burst of praise to Messiah the King, it was a warning to them. What you're doing has great responsibility. And so when these religious leaders, when they brought him before Pilate and they exhorted the people, shout, crucify him, condemn him, what a weight of responsibility was laid upon them. And that responsibility is laid upon everyone who has the light, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The more light, the more responsibility. The more knowledge, the more and greater the condemnation for those who do not use it right. And we are all warned that we must acknowledge Christ as Savior and not resist the truth, that we must all serve Him as our Savior, that one day we shall give account on that great day when He shall come in power and glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we will give account for every deed and word here on this earth. That is the claim, the responsibility that is laid upon His people. And we see that responsibility in this very act of fulfilling these scriptures, and everything in this book will come alive and be fulfilled. There's not a jot or tittle in this book, but the Lord will fulfill in that great day. Now let's move to seeing this This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us again on the program, and I hope that you have been encouraged. If you have questions, concerns, or perhaps a particular need for prayer, for personal help, I would love to hear from you. Just give me a call at 604-576-1091. That's our church number. Give me a call almost any time, and I will be glad to speak to you one-to-one, to share with you the Bible, the gospel, and to give you a few pointers on how you can be sure that you're saved and that you are ready for glory. I know that these are fearful times for many, times of, well, a certain oppression that seems to be upon our nations. Things are not quite normal, and with all these restrictions and all the upsets of things, it's good to have the Lord. It's good to have the Savior. Now, please remember our missionaries in their burden to reach their people with the gospel and also with practical help. Our mission board of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America has sent out an appeal for help from our churches, for gifts to support particular needs on the mission field. And my mind goes right now to Jamaica, where we have the Reverend David DeCanio. He is with the Free Presbyterian Church Mission there, and he is running a radio broadcast 24/7 that covers Greater Monrovia. We're so thankful for our brother and for his ministry and for all that they're seeking to do for the people there. Thank you for your interest and concern for them, and I hope that you will consider supporting. You can go to our website for all the information and how you can support. May the Lord bless you richly. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.